This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. The weekend is nearly upon us, so we'll be looking ahead to all of the Premier League action to come over the weekend, as well as reviewing what's been a very busy midweek round of fixtures in the Premier League. And we'll be reacting to Arsenal 1, Brighton 2. Last night. Arsenal still without a permanent manager. Who's going to go in at the Emirates? What a result and performance by Brighton. Newcastle also getting a win last night away at Sheffield United, who've made an impressive start to life back in the Premier League. We're looking ahead, as I mentioned, to the weekend's games, including the Manchester Derby tomorrow evening, as well as talking about a few other managerial changes. Marco Silva gone at Everton. Who's going to go in there at Goodison Park? Brendan Rodgers is potentially going to sign a new contract at Leicester to try and push off interest from other clubs. And also some other news in that Chelsea can now sign players in January after having their transfer ban reduced. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 70 20 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. We want to hear from you this afternoon, sharing your views on your Premier League club, whether you're a fan of a club that doesn't have a permanent manager. There are three of them in the Premier League. Whether your club's made a really good start to the season or if you're down in the dumps in the relegation zone, make sure you get in touch with us this afternoon. Just a quick rundown of the results from last night and what's to come this weekend. Last night, two games in the Premier League. At Bramall Lane, it finished Sheffield United 0, Newcastle 2. Goals from Alan Saint-Maximin and Jonjo Shelvey in quite controversial circumstances, with the Sheffield United players stopping with the flag gone up. Jonjo Shelvey continued on his way, scored past Dean Henderson, and it was given onside by the VAR officials, and the goal stood at the Emirates. Or should we call it the empty roots? At the moment, Arsenal 1, Brighton 2. Brighton fully deserving of those 3 points. They played really, really well last night. Neil Morpay scoring the winner late on for Brighton. Freddie Ljungberg is still an interim head coach, in the interim head coach position at Arsenal. They're still on the lookout for a new manager after sacking Unai Emery. And the performance was awful. Arsenal were really rank awful last night, and who's going to take over at the Emirates? That's the big question as to who is going to replace Unai Emery at Arsenal. Just a quick rundown of all of the Premier League fixtures to come this weekend. It starts with Everton Chelsea. Then it is Bournemouth, Liverpool, Tottenham play Burnley, Watford play Crystal Palace, Manchester City play Manchester United in the Manchester Derby. Aston Villa play Leicester, Newcastle are up against Southampton, Norwich play Sheffield United, and Brighton take on Wolves. There is some breaking news to bring you from the Premier League, and it comes from Leicester. I was going to talk about how Leicester were going to tempt Brendan Rodgers with a lucrative new contract to ward off interest from other clubs. Well, good news for you Leicester fans is the news that Brendan Rodgers has signed a new contract at Leicester. It is until the summer of 2025 now. You can read into that what you will as to whether he will still be there in 2025 in the modern era of football. I think there's probably absolutely no chance he's going to be there in 2025, no matter what happens over the next couple of years. But obviously, this was a big attempt by Leicester to give him a pay rise for the work he's done over the last 6 to 8 months. But also, and this is perhaps the more significant aspect of this new contract, is you'd imagine a bigger compensation fee. Remember when Leicester won the other day against Everton, Rodgers opened the door potentially to a move to Arsenal by suggesting he had this release clause that was believed to be about £14 million. This new contract that takes him through for the next 5.5 years is sure to have an even bigger release clause. If it has a release clause, if not, a compensation fee package will be even more significant. So good news for Leicester fans today. He signed a 3.5-year deal worth around £5 million when he left Celtic for Leicester. But he has signed that new contract at the King Power Stadium until the summer of 2025. And so if Arsenal, who were believed to be pretty interested in Brendan Rodgers' services, if they are to go in for him, are they going to have to pay a whole lot more than maybe they would have expected to a couple of hours ago. Leicester fans, how delighted are you that Brendan Rodgers has signed that new contract? Arsenal fans, would you like to see Arsenal push the boat out to get Brendan Rodgers? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. One big managerial decision yesterday came. We expected it all day after Everton got smashed by Liverpool in the Merseyside derby on Wednesday night. We expected Marco Silva's departure to be confirmed at some point. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Marco Silva had to wait 10 hours in the day to be finally told. It broke just after 7 o'clock, similar sort of time to when Mauricio Pochettino was sacked by Tottenham a few weeks ago. The news came through that Everton had sacked manager Marco Silva after 1 year and 187 days in charge. He was in charge of 53 games with only a 35.9% win percentage. To put that into perspective with some of the other recent managers, Sam Allardyce had a win percentage of 37.5%, Roberto Martinez had 38.1%, Ronald Koeman 40.4%, and David Moyes 40.5%, so the lowest of their last five managers. He spent £207 million during his tenure at Everton, winning 24 and losing 24 of his 60 games in all competitions. I don't think he realistically should have got the job in the first place. The jobs he had before at Hull and Watford, he didn't do a particularly good job there. Didn't keep Hull in the Premier League, and then at Watford it started quite well and then fell away very, very significantly. So why on earth Everton felt he had the credentials to take over, who knows? And it was inevitable that it was coming, and maybe we expected it to happen a little bit earlier than it did, but it did finally come last night. And so for another club, the attention turns to who is going to replace Marco Silva at Everton. Now, one of the front runners for the job is Vitor Pereira, that came out last night just to talk about a little bit about him, some of the clubs he's been at. He's been at Porto, he's been at Al Ahly, Olympiacos, Fenerbahce, 1860 Munich, and he is currently at Shanghai SIPG, which is where Marko Arnautović currently plays at. It would seem a very strange appointment to go for someone like him. That kind of, it smacks of the Marco Silva appointment in the first place. David Moyes is currently the favourite with the bookies at 11-10. Supposedly may bring back Tim Cahill as his assistant if he is to return to Goodison Park. Also in the shortlist, Eddie Howe is third favourite. Rafa Benitez is a fourth favourite. He's also in China, like Vitor Pereira at this moment in time. But I'd seen links. Everton have been linked with Diego Simeone. I'm thinking, who the hell do you think you are? Everton are a rubbish club with a lot of rubbish players, and yet you think you can attract one of the best managers in world football, who's at a top club in Atletico Madrid, who's the highest paid manager in world football. I don't know who Everton think they are at this moment in time. They've been linked with Mauricio Pochettino, supposedly approached him. I don't think Poch will be turning around and taking that job at Goodison Park. So Everton, another club on the lookout for a new manager. Arsenal obviously are looking for a permanent manager. Brendan Rodgers, despite that, whether the odds have now changed after Brendan Rodgers' new contract that he signed at Leicester, he's 3-1 to take the Arsenal job. Max Allegri, 7-2, although he said that he won't be taking a job during the season. He will wait until next summer and they then make a more informed decision. Patrick Vieira, former Arsenal, well, not a former Arsenal legend, an Arsenal legend, former player, 11-2. Third favourite, Eddie Howe, is on the Arsenal shortlist as well. He's at 6-1. Another club on the lookout for a new manager, Watford. They sacked Kike Sanchez Suarez on Sunday. They said within 24 hours they'd have a new manager in place. Well, that was a lie, or whether they changed their mind on that. Nigel Pearson is currently the favourite for that job. Has not really done a lot since leaving Leicester. He was at Derby for a short period in 2016, then took over at Leuven over in Belgium, which are owned by the same owners as Leicester. Was there for a couple of years between 2017 and 2019. But that would be a very strange appointment, although he did give one of the great all-time clips of asking a journalist whether he was an ostrich, or saying he was an ostrich, that he had his head buried in the sand, which is one of the all-time great quotes in the world of football. You can talk about your Kevin Keegans, your Sir Alex Ferguson quotes over the years, your Bill Shankly. Obviously, for me, Bill Shankly is the best one of all time, and it is still the best quote, but Nigel Pearson's is pretty good, calling someone an ostrich. Not a bad, I mean, a very strange sort of cuss on someone, but an interesting one at that. But as I said, he doesn't come anywhere near to Bill Shankly, some of the phenomenal quotes that he had over the years. Some of the other favourites for the Watford job: Sam Allardyce at 4-1. Could Big Sam be going in for another stint to save Watford? Hayden Mullins, who's in temporary charge at the moment, he's at 14-1. Alan Pardew is at 16-1. Just constantly recycling these average managers doesn't seem like a good move. A positive day for Chelsea fans. They were obviously banned in the summer from signing players, but Chelsea can now sign players in January after having their FIFA transfer ban reduced following an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They were given a two-window ban by FIFA in February for breaching rules on signing young players. But the Court of Arbitration for Sport has halved the ban to one window, which was served during the summer, and fined the Premier League club £230,000. Now, supposedly, Ben Chilwell is Chelsea's number one transfer target for January. They are now able to sign players in January. So whether Frank Lampard and his team are going to bring anyone else on board in January, we'll have to wait and see. But Chelsea now have the option of doing so. They can now spend money in the January transfer window if they wish. Chelsea fans out there, who would you like to see? Would you like to see Chelsea go out and sign players? If so, who would you like to come in? Or do you think Chelsea should stick with the squad that they've been playing with so far this season? Get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to look back at last night's fixtures. We're going to talk about Arsenal's game against Brighton later. But up next, we'll be getting the Newcastle perspective after they beat Sheffield United 2-0 last night.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to get in touch, make sure you do call us on 0208 70255. That breaking news from the Premier League this afternoon is that Brendan Rodgers has signed a new contract at Leicester until the summer of 2025. He's been linked with the Arsenal job. Open the door maybe to a move to Arsenal after revealing there may have been a release clause in his contract of around £14 million. I'm sure that he has earned a significant pay rise, and perhaps the compensation fee has just gone up another notch. But Rodgers has signed on until the summer of 2025 at Leicester. As I mentioned, there were two games last night at the Emirates. It was Arsenal 1, Brighton 2. We'll be getting both perspectives on that later in the hour. But the other game was at Bramall Lane. Sheffield United made an impressive start to life back in the Premier League. But last night, a bit of a surprise result saw Newcastle win 2-0 away at Sheffield United. Alan Saint-Maximin gave them the lead. It seemed, when you describe and know that Andy Carroll started up front, when you think of a bullet header from across, you're assuming it'd probably be Andy Carroll. And the last person you think of would be short, diminutive Alan Saint-Maximin, but a brilliant header. And then Jonjo Shelvey's controversial goal, despite the flag going up, he continued while the Sheffield United players stood around, took advantage, and VAR confirmed the goal. Earlier on the Breakfast Show, Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's were joined by the former Newcastle striker Joe Allen, always a character, always good to get here on Love Sport. He was reacting to last night's win for Newcastle at Bramall Lane and talking a little bit about Steve Bruce.
I know I'm going to get pelters off you, right? But at the end of the day, listen, Rich, Patrick, I never ever disliked Steve Bruce. I always said he was a top man. Yeah. I was disgruntled and always will be by the fact that he took the job. But who wouldn't take the job at Newcastle United? It's Mike Ashley that I've got a problem with, and a lot of the fans have got the problem with. But I'm a Newcastle United supporter. I want Newcastle to win every single game. I kicked every ball last night, and I love your advert that you just had on before there, because them Coronas that were on the Coronas at that hotel that sponsors Love Sport Radio, I had plenty of them Coronas last night, and it was wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. And Brucey, honestly, he's got more points than what Rafa had last season. But think about this, as a football connoisseur, like Richard Lee is, and Patrick Christie's, wow, Manchester United's fan, 81%, right, possession against Man City in Man City's favour.
Yeah.
79% possession against Manchester United. And you get a result where you beat Man United 1-0, you get a result where you get a 2-2 draw against Man City, and then you beat Sheffield United last night. What were the stats? What was their possession against Newcastle possession? And we had three shots at goal, scored two.
Well, talk to me, because this is a bit I don't fully understand. Like, they do keep grinding out results. They're not playing brilliantly, I think it's fair to say. But they've obviously got something going on. But they have got some good individuals. I'm a big fan of the goalkeeper, in fairness. I know he was excellent last night. And there's obviously several players that are very, very talented. But they're finding a way to grind out these results, even without playing brilliantly. What is the feeling around the club now? You just mentioned there about Mike Ashley. Look, Steve Bruce, it seems, he's done all he could. You're spot on in what you say, by the way. And I'm sort of saying it semi-jokingly. But bearing in mind the amount of stick he was getting when he was appointed, it couldn't have gone much better for him. But am I right in thinking there is still the same disgruntlement, if that's a word, towards the owner? Is it still very much the same with Mike Ashley?
Well, in my eyes, it is. And I think in a lot of the fans, just because I want to know, Rich, right? You've asked a question there. There's somebody in charge of that football club, right, that's paid 40 million. And I don't like sounding out individuals. I don't like hammering individuals. We've been players. It's horrible, right? I mean, I used to get booed when I used to walk on the pitch, and that was off of my own fans. I mean, but you've got 40 million quid for a player that's scored one goal. You've got 20 million quid for a player that's played 28 games and hasn't scored a goal. That's £60 million. I want to know who is in charge of the recruitment. Who was in charge of bringing them players in? Because people are telling me, oh, great player. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Honestly, I could say things, but I couldn't. But it's like the case of, like, Joel Linton is not a centre-forward and Almirón is not a goal scorer. But you're talking about grinding out results. Steve Bruce had these players under him, right? He inherited them. But you're talking about the John Joe Shelvies, who always been a fan of John Joe Shelvey. Always been a fan. And that type of player is coming back into the team. And you're saying why we're grinding out results is because of players like him.
Yeah, I get what you mean, Joe. But just quickly, mate. The fact is, you know, Everton have spent a lot more money than Newcastle, and they're currently in the relegation zone. Newcastle are 11th, and they look quite good for it at the moment. And you know, I know for all this talk about Mike Ashley out, and they all hate Ashley. Wouldn't you rather have him than the Everton owners?
Well, to be honest, Ashley's been at our football club, Patrick, for 13 years. Right, we should be challenging. Like you're saying, happy with 11th. We're not happy with 11th. Mm. We want to be first. Who doesn't want to be first? Why can't we get, when you get 50,000 people every week through the turnstiles, you want to be first. You want to be competing with the Liverpools and the Man Uniteds and the Chelseas and the Tottenhams, you know? Mm. So it's not good enough just to be 11th or to be out of the relegation zone. Mm. We want to be in there because, honestly, the supporters, we haven't won nothing in 50 years. I've won more things in 50 years. You haven't won broadcast awards in 50 years.
He has.
And how bad are you?
Shockingly.
I mean, gee, yeah. How are you?
The Steve Bruce of radio.
Yeah. Well, look, just quickly, just touching on the game last night, because, look, it was a big victory. I mean, bearing in mind how Sheffield United have been doing, a fantastic victory. Just want to touch on the second goal. What did you make of that? Really bizarre goal, of course. Jonjo Shelvey walking through and effectively unchallenged and putting it into what was effectively an empty net. VAR at play again. What did you make of the goal?
Definitely onside. Yeah. But the thing is, you're a goalkeeper, Rich. Why did the goalkeeper do what the goalkeeper did? You tell me. Because I'm a forward, and I'm in the goalkeepers' union. As you know, centre-forwards and goalkeepers are very, very close. Because, you know, when you drop it, Rich, I'm going to be there to pick it up.
Hey, it happens sometimes. It happens.
It happens.
Rarely.
Sorry? When you drop it, I'm going to be there to pick it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Good
Don't
stuff.
You worry. But the unbelievable thing is, VAR. Oh, that's farcical. I mean, it's like bloody politics. Oh, and then he swore. It's like politics. I mean, I love listening to Patrick talk about the politics and that. And I'm getting quite impressed because I didn't realise it was a general election on December 12th. But, oi, honestly, it's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house, this VAR thing. And, he was definitely onside. And I actually couldn't believe what I was seeing with my eyes.
That was the former Newcastle striker and proper character, Joe Allen, who joined Richard Lee and Patrick Christie on The Breakfast Show this morning. Remember, you can listen to Love Sport Breakfast every weekday morning between 6.30 and 10 a.m. So make sure you listen to Patrick and Rich every weekday morning. Obviously talking about a very impressive result, considering how impressive Sheffield United have been this season so far. A great result for Steve Bruce, who is doing better. And quite a bit better, actually, than Rafa Benitez was doing at this point last season. But If you ask me who's the better manager, it's most definitely Rafa every day of the week. As I mentioned, we're going to talk more about Arsenal's defeats to Brighton later in the air. We're going to get both perspectives. Arsenal still on the lookout for a new manager, and they were absolutely terrible. Brighton, absolutely worth the 3 points. I thought they were excellent last night. They didn't... I'm not trying to dig out Chris Hughton here, because I think a lot of what Chris Hughton's done in his career at times has been a bit underrated, and I think he did a decent job at Brighton to get them into the Premier League, to keep them in the Premier League, even though last season they were very, very lucky. He's done decent jobs at other clubs as well. But this is, I think, why it vindicated the decision to move on from Hughton and the way that they were going under Hughton to Graham Potter, a younger, more expansive type of manager. And last night, if that had been Chris Hughton's side at 1-1, they'd have been content, shut up shop, and decided, well, if we can take a point from the Emirates, that's fine. Graham Potter knew Arsenal were there for the taking last night, and I thought they were excellent. They didn't just win the game and create quite a lot of chances. They actually played really well. They were so comfortable in possession. They played out from the back. They didn't look fazed by anything. Now, the atmosphere at the Emirates did turn quite toxic, so it maybe helped Brighton. But I thought they were fully deserving of those 3 points. They were excellent. We're going to get the Brighton perspective later in the hour. Looking ahead to some of the Premier League games over the weekend, the first game has a lot of intrigue in it. Everton against Chelsea. Duncan Ferguson will be in caretaker charge at Goodison Park tomorrow for Everton while they're on the lookout for the new manager. It's seemingly going to be a straight race between David Moyes and Vitor Pereira. Both, I think, would be pretty poor appointments, but that's the way that Everton are going. They host Chelsea, who, as I mentioned, now have a transfer ban lifted for the January transfer window. So they are now active for the January transfer window. Down on the south coast, Bournemouth host table toppers Liverpool at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tottenham take on Burnley. Jose Mourinho, in his first four games in charge of Spurs, has conceded 2 goals in every single one of those 4 games. So Tottenham haven't been exactly good defensively. Watford against Crystal Palace, a bit of a derby game there. Watford still without a manager. There are a few clubs out there that are on the lookout for a new manager. Hayden Mullins will again take a charge. We're hearing Nigel Pearson is very much the favourite for the job. He's held talks with the Watford hierarchy, and he seems to be in pole position to take that job. They've never appointed an English manager under the Pozzo regime. Maybe that is coming towards some sort of an end. The biggest game, obviously, is up at the Etihad, or should we call it the Empty Had? We were discussing this earlier. Either Manchester City fans have a very good knack of being able to fold themselves to look like a blue seat and be able to dress in full blue, or, which is the more likely option, this latter option, just half the stadium's empty and no one turns up. I don't think there are that many City fans that are that talented that can just fold themselves up to make the shape of a seat and dress in all blue. I don't think that's quite possible. But anyway, at the Etihad, there's Manchester City against Manchester United. Always a big game, no matter where these two sides are. Obviously a huge, huge game for both sides. For Manchester United, Paul Pogba is still out, injured. Anthony Martial is a serious doubt. He missed the Tottenham game in midweek. He's a doubt for that one. Aston Villa take on Leicester on Sunday. As I mentioned, Leicester buoyed by the fact that Brendan Rodgers has just signed that new contract until the summer of 2025. Newcastle looking to continue this good form that they're on. Decent form, winning 2-0 away at Sheffield United. They host Southampton. Norwich play Sheffield United. A massive 3 points for Norwich, really. They are in pretty poor form, and they're in desperate need of all 3 points. And Brighton, as we mentioned, a great performance last night away at Arsenal. They host Wolves on Sunday. We have 4 games on Sunday, 6 tomorrow, so plenty to look forward to over the weekend. If you want to get in touch with us, whether you're a fan of one of those clubs near the top, how confident are you going forward, going into a very busy festive period? Obviously, if you're one of 3 clubs, Everton, Watford, Arsenal, without a permanent manager as it stands, who would you like to see come in? Who would you dread seeing come in? And also for those clubs down near the bottom, what needs to change? What do you need to do to make sure your form takes an upturn in its outlook? Remember, if you want to get in contact, that number, 0208 70 20 558, or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We've already reacted to one of last night's game. We're going to be reacting to the other game last night. We're going to get both perspectives. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about Brighton. A great performance at the Emirates. They fully deserved all 3 points. And how good a job is Graham Potter doing? And he's also just signed a new long-term contract. But up next, we'll be getting the Gunners' perspective. Obviously, another defeat for them. Their worst winless run since 1977. They're without a permanent manager. Who's going to take over there? Why are the likes of Pierre-Éric Aubameyang, Mesut Ozil playing out wide? Why does Kieran Tierney not get a start at left back? Why is Nicolas Pepe? They signed him for £72 million. He sat on the bench. What is going on at Arsenal? It's toxic at the Emirates at the moment. We'll be getting the Gunners' perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, make sure you do. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We want to hear from you. This afternoon, plenty of storylines going around the Premier League, whether it be managerial ones, whether it be player issues. So much to talk about this afternoon ahead of another busy weekend of Premier League action to come over the next couple of days. We're going to be looking back at last night's game. We've already talked about the one at Bramall Lane. We're going to now talk about the Emirates. We're going to get the Brighton perspective a little bit later, but now we're going to get the Arsenal perspective now. I'm delighted to say we're joined by James Bench, senior writer for football.london. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. It seemed like a pretty toxic atmosphere, as it has been at the Emirates for quite some time. Even though Unai Emery's gone, the same problems existed at Arsenal. A 2-1 loss at home to Brighton. I'm guessing not only were the Arsenal fans frustrated with the results of the game, but the manner of it, because Brighton were fully deserving of all 3 points last night.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I'm just looking back at some of the numbers behind the game now, and Brighton had more shots on target, more shots, slightly more possession. Their expected goals tally was higher, and, you know, barring, what, 15 minutes in the second half when Arsenal were chasing the game, you know, this was the sort of same old story for Arsenal. They were lacking in ideas, lacking in creativity. The system they were playing didn't seem to work. The defence was just an absolute horror show. I don't think they actually have a good centre-back in the squad right now, if Rob Holding isn't fit. It's an absolute mess. And I think what was significant about last night as well is, you know, that you know, the fans weren't turning up for Freddie Ljungberg's first game in charge. I mean, that tells you everything about just how bad the relationship has got between the supporters and the players, really. And I think, you know, they're the ones that are going to be carrying the can over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's Arsenal's worst winless run since 1977. They don't have a permanent man in charge. Freddie Ljungberg drew 2-2 in his first game at Norwich on the weekend, then losing 2-1 at home to Brighton. And you mentioned there about a few interesting selection decisions in terms of the personnel as well as the formation. One of the big things that struck me, James, was playing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang wide on one side, Mesut Ozil out on the other. Those are two players that don't suit playing out wide. Mesut Ozil is a number 10. He plays in behind a centre forward. Aubameyang's a world class centre forward. So why on earth are Arsenal in one kind of place of the pitch where strikers wise they've got some pretty good strikers, they're even shooting themselves in the foot with selection up front?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is this is a dreadfully constructed squad, and I think that's becoming increasingly clear. At the very least, you're in a position where your two best players are a centre forward, and then you've got a quality number 10 in behind as well, as you mentioned. You know, but with Lacazette and Aubameyang, they can play together, but that means making, you know, sacrifices elsewhere in the pitch, maybe playing a back three and having to play wing backs because the midfield isn't good enough. You've got Nicolas Pepe on the bench as well because they still haven't worked out a way of fitting all these players into one system. I thought for a while the view was a sort of 4-3-3 with Pepe and Aubameyang on one flank, but Lacazette has been really poor this season and he was absolutely dreadful last night, even though he scored. I don't know what sort of style of football Arsenal play. I don't really know what their long-term view is in terms of fitting all these players in. It is an absolute mess. Formation-wise, and you kind of feel sorry for the young players that are parachuted in here as well. I think, you know, Joe Willock was playing as a number 10 yesterday rather than Mesut Ozil. He's kind of on a hiding for nothing in this team, and it was a real shame to see him getting berated by Aubameyang just before half-time and then being subbed off at the break. It's going wrong on so many levels. It's really difficult to just pinpoint one thing that is the most important problem Arsenal need to fix.
There's another interesting selection decision that has happened for a lot of this season. Now, when Kieran Tierney was signed from Celtic, obviously he was recovering from a hernia operation, so he was always going to be ruled out for the first month or two of his Arsenal career. But now that he's fully fit, now I understand that obviously when you come back from something like that, it's a gradual process. You don't just throw someone in playing three games a week and expect them to be at full fitness straight away. So that's understandable. But we're now into December, and he still seems to be favouring Kolasinac, who's quite a bit like Granit Xhaka, just makes mistakes, quite a rash player that is flying in with challenges. Sometimes they're really good challenges, sometimes they're red card dismissals. Why on earth is someone like Tierney, who is quite clearly a good left-back, not getting in ahead of Kolasinac when Kolasinac himself isn't exactly a well-heralded left-back?
There's a lot of niggling injuries with Tierney, and he did have a bit of a checkered fitness record in the past that kind of put teams, including Arsenal, off signing him. I don't know what it is. You're right that on purely footballing basis, there is no reason at all to pick Kolasinac over Tierney. And it was obvious when Tierney came on last night that he's a better crosser of the ball, he's a better defender, he's just better at everything. I think that there is still question marks over his fitness and his recovery from that hernia operation. It's notable as well that he's not been allowed to join up with the Scotland squad, even though he's been nominally fit for the last two international breaks. So Arsenal kind of managing him carefully and closely, but at the same time, they need someone like him in this team, particularly when the centre-backs, you know, next to him and Bellerin on the other flank are just absolutely diabolical. You need someone somewhere in that back line that can actually defend.
So it's been a week now, James, since Unai Emery lost his job, and seemingly Arsenal aren't really any closer to appointing a new manager. Before we talk about who's now kind of coming to the forefront, who is the favourite, do you think Arsenal are being meticulous in the way they're going about it, knowing how important a decision it is, that they are taking their time before they make a decision? Or are their options limited and they're wondering, well, there aren't that many great choices, so therefore they're being knocked back quite a few times?
It's a bit of both. Arsenal have always been determined to be meticulous about this. They've got faith in Frede Ljungberg and that he can hold the fort until potentially the end of the season if required. They'd like to appoint someone before then if it's the right person, but they don't want to rush into appointing the wrong person. Simple reality is, though, that a lot of the candidates they'd like to talk to have their doubts. I mean, we've seen that with Brendan Rodgers. I wouldn't necessarily say for certain that him signing a new contract at Leicester absolutely withdraws him from contention for the Arsenal job, but certainly it dramatically decreases their chances of being able to get him. He was one of their top candidates. Mikel Arteta, believed to kind of have doubts over re-entering the process after, you know, the job was kind of taken from him at the 11th hour. And, you know, the top bracket of European managers come with significant wage demands. You have to pay a lot of money to get them out of their clubs if they're already at one. All that Arsenal can't really afford to match at the moment. So, you know, it's taking their time, but also because they don't really have much of a choice.
From what I've read today, James, you look at some of the favourites that are still, according to the bookies, Brendan Rodgers is still the favourite, although maybe that news in the last half an hour about him signing a new contract, maybe that might slightly change things. Pochettino is still among the preferred candidates, along with the likes of Max Allegri and Mikel Arteta. From what you've seen, now that we're a week on from Unai Emery sacking and you can see everything that's going on at Arsenal, who would be the most logical fit? And is it someone that needs to come in ASAP to try and sort things out? Or would it be better to make an appointment in the summer, give themselves a few more months, and then have a complete rebuild at the end of the season rather than trying to fiddle around with things halfway through a season?
I think, you know, looking at, I personally thought until he signed the new contract that Rodgers was the right choice. He's a relatively young manager, but he still has that experience. I kind of think, looking at the other options, look, there was a reason why when Arsenal interviewed Max Allegri, they didn't want him in the first place. I think really that Mauricio Pochettino, you know, it will help him to be linked with the job, but push comes to shove, I don't see him taking it. I think Mikel Arteta is looking once more like the standout candidate. I think Arsenal now are in a position where they just need to take a risk They can't get a top manager, but what they can, you know, what they could get is a manager who has the potential to develop into that top manager. I think, you know, if you talk to everyone that knows Arteta, if you talk to Guardiola, if you talk to Wenger, they all rave about him as a manager of the future. I mean, right now, Arsenal couldn't go and get a Jurgen Klopp or a Pep Guardiola. What they need to do is kind of find someone that no one has realised is the next Klopp or Guardiola. So they're going to have to take a gamble. I'd take it on Arteta.
And up next, for Arsenal, I forgot to read out on the Premier League fixtures. I'm sure my producer, who's a West Ham fan, was a bit alarmed when I didn't read out that it's West Ham against Arsenal on the Monday night football. This is a big game, obviously, a London derby. And Arsenal's form is, as I mentioned earlier, is utterly terrible. Is this a game that Arsenal fans will be really worried about? Or will they look at West Ham? And even though they won at Chelsea last weekend, their form themselves is pretty terrible as well.
I mean, I think Arsenal fans should be absolutely dreading this. You know, West Ham always seem to raise their game for the sort of London derbies, and particularly sort of, you know, the night games at the London Stadium always have a bit of a different atmosphere. And look, you know, if you look at the players they can attack Arsenal with, you know, Felipe Anderson, Sebastian Haller, Mikel Antonio, they're all going to have such joy against this Arsenal backline. I think Arsenal are going to lose this one as well. I think, you know, actually, looking at the fixture list ahead, unless they can get some points against the likes of West Ham, Everton, Bournemouth, I genuinely don't think wouldn't be surprised if they're hovering sort of just above the relegation zone, you know, heading into the new year. They are in an absolute crisis, and, you know, there's really very little that you can see that convinces you this is going to change anytime soon.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Benge, senior writer for Football.London, talking all things Arsenal there. And actually just linked to that, Pep Guardiola has been speaking in his press conference ahead of the Manchester derby about Mikel Arteta. And he says that the club have not received any approach for Arteta. So as it stands, according to Guardiola, now you can take from that what you will. He says there's been no official approach for Mikel Arteta. So we're going to have to wait and see on that one. James suggesting there that Arsenal fans will be pretty worried about the Monday night football as Arsenal travel to West Ham, a London derby at the London Stadium on Monday night. And Arsenal fans apparently will be pretty worried about that. Arsenal fans, how worried are you with your form at the moment? Who should be the man coming in? Who should be the favourite for the job? Who needs to come in? And how quickly will things turn around? How long is it going to take for Arsenal to get back to a top four side? Remember, this has been a number of seasons on the trot where Arsenal have failed to get Champions League football. How far away are they from just being a top four side? Get in touch with us. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. They lost at home to Brighton last night. The other perspective is pretty good. Graham Potter signed a new contract. They're playing some good football. And last night, they were fully deserving of all 3 points. We'll be getting the Seagulls perspective next. Love Sport. Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchlow. The final Premier League Fan Show of the weekend this Friday afternoon as we build up to the weekend of Premier League football. Just a quick rundown of all of the fixtures to come. Everton are playing Chelsea. Bournemouth take on Liverpool. Tottenham are at home against Burnley. Watford play Crystal Palace. The Manchester derby. City against United. Aston Villa host Leicester. Newcastle play Southampton. Norwich play Sheffield United. Brighton take on Wolves. And the Monday night football is from the London Stadium with West Ham taking on Arsenal. We were talking about Arsenal just a few moments ago after a pretty dreadful night yet again at the Emirates. But for the away side last night, Brighton, it was a pretty fantastic night for the Seagulls fans. To talk all things Brighton now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Andy Naylor, Brighton reporter for The Athletic. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Andy. Brighton were fully deserving of the 3 points performance-wise, as well as the result. The result would have really pleased Seagulls fans, but performance-wise, I thought Brighton were fantastic last night.
Yeah, the results certainly did not flatter them. They were exceptional in the first half, I thought. Really dominated, won the front foot, deservedly led at half time. A little bit of a wobble when Arsenal equalised early in the second half. Very much overall against the run of play. A little spell then when it looked like it might turn around. But they reasserted again after that. Some tactical tweaks from Graham Potter, some good use of the substitutes, and a very well-deserved 3 points.
as you mentioned there, in terms of the loss of the game, Brighton were the better side, but they went in at half-time 1-0 up, then they were pegged back quite early on in the second half. They showed some real resilience there. I know the atmosphere wasn't exactly bubbling for more than about 5 minutes at the Emirates because all the Arsenal fans seemingly are pretty down in the dumps at the moment, but they showed some real character there because they could have easily have folded having conceded and then they could have just gone on to lose the game 2-3-4-1. But they went back to what they did in the first half and just reasserted themselves, as you mentioned, back in the game.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that really demonstrates the growth under Graham Potter. The fact that they were able to respond in that way and be on the front foot away to Arsenal. Remember, this is a club that until last night had not won in 16 attempts away to the so-called Big Six since coming into the Premier League. In fact, their only point up to that stage was again at the Emirates at the end of last season under Chris Hughton. You couple that with the table pressure that was on them last night because a defeat would probably have meant them going into the Wolves game at home on Sunday afternoon at 4:30 in the relegation zone. So it was a very impressive response, I thought, to that difficult period. It was only a slight period, sort of 5-10 minutes. In the second half, which included the Arsenal equaliser.
I wanted to get your views on the front too, because I thought, obviously, Aaron Connolly's still so young, is actually not many senior appearances to talk of. Broke onto the scene against Arsenal's North London rivals Tottenham, where he was fantastic in that game at the Amex. Neil Morpay, who was a big money signing for $20 million over the summer from Brentford after a great season in the Championship last season. I thought those two were fantastic, not just in terms of Neil Morpay scoring the winner late on, but I thought off the ball, as well as on it, they work extremely hard. They have a great stamina across a whole 90-minute performance that on and off the ball, in and out of possession, I thought that front two were fantastic last night.
Yep, totally agree with you. I was hoping that Graham was going to play both of them because Neil Mopay didn't start at Anfield at the weekend. It was a bold move to go with two up front. And fully vindicated. They're both mobile, plenty of movement. But as you said as well, a really important point, they really do work hard off the ball, really do a lot of work for the team. And it's quite interesting, one of the various tactical tweets that Graham Potter made was Neil Mopay drifting out to the right during the second half. He was a bit concerned that Arsenal were making progress down both flanks. And he really is a team, well, they both are, but he really is a team player, Neil Mopay, and he's got 5 goals now.
I wanted also to get your views on Aaron Moy, because he's on loan from Huddersfield this season, and I didn't think it was a particularly good signing or a particularly revolutionary signing for Brighton, but he played well in that game against Tottenham at the Amex about a month or two ago, and he was instrumental last night in what was good. We talked about the front two adding a lot to Brighton in and out of possession, but I thought Aaron Moy controlled things really well from midfield.
Hard to pick somebody out after a general performance like that and result, but I thought he was outstanding last night. I thought he was my man in the match, Aaron Moy. Really imposed himself in midfield. Really strong, powerful performance. And, you know, he's really coming on to his game now. You mentioned the Spurs game. He had a very uncharacteristic red card at Aston Villa, but he's got over that. And I think he could be increasingly influential for Brighton as the season develops.
Interestingly, no start for Leandro Trossard. Now, I know that Brighton fans have been very complimentary, saying that the way that he's going at the moment, Brighton would be in some ways quite lucky to keep him next season because of how good a young player he is, that top clubs who may have shown a bit of an interest last summer will be showing an even bigger interest next summer. He didn't start. Was that due to the opposition, that going with a front two of Morpay and Connolly meant that he couldn't go with Trossard? And do you think that's a real kind of tick in the box for Graham Potter, that he's aware of these tactical things away from home and he got it right last night and he got it spot on, actually?
Yes, he did. And also, I think with Leandro Trossard, we have to put it into some context. you know, he was starting games at the start of the season and had an impact. He went away on international duty with Belgium and picked up a groin injury. That kept him out for 8 weeks. So he had a really quite a lengthy time out, a setback. He's been very influential from the bench. I think I'm counting 4 games now where he's either scored or contributed to Brighton scoring. Norwich, Everton, Liverpool at the weekend, and now Arsenal, because he played a part in the winning goal. As soon as Graham Potter took him on, it was his pass that released Aaron Moy for the cross that Neil Mopay headed in. So he also picked up a little injury when he was last on international duty, Leandro Trossard. So he's a really good option either way, whether it's in the starting lineup or from as an impact substitute. He certainly has been an impact substitute.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Andy. That was Andy Naylor, Brighton reporter for The Athletic. A fantastic night for Brighton last night. They played really well. They fully deserved all 3 points. A lot of really good individual performances from Neil Maupay to Aaron Connolly, to Aaron Moy, to Dan Burn at left back, who had to play against Aubameyang first half, then Pepe second half. A lot of pace coming his way, and he's not really a typical left back. He's a big unit of a man, more of a centre back, but I thought it was a really good all-round performance and a lot of really good individual displays to talk about with Brighton. A lot of big news coming in this afternoon in the Premier League. Brendan Rodgers has signed a new contract at Leicester until the summer of 2025. Pep Guardiola has confirmed in his press conference that City have received no offers or approaches for his assistant manager, Mikel Arteta. And the strange world of Watford just continues rolling on. They make some strange appointments when Javi Gracia was sacked. No one expected Kike Sanchez Flores to make a return. Apparently, the view is that Watford are close to agreeing a deal to appoint Nigel Pearson. We mentioned it about half an hour ago that he was the favourite with the bookies for the job. Well, he's close to becoming the Watford manager. Watford haven't appointed an English manager under the Pozzo family. Well, they could be about to do so. And wow, what a strange appointment that really would be for Watford.
This is Love Sport.